The Dating Show with Pete Wicks and Cece Coleman on FUBAR Radio.
Welcome to The Dating Show.
Welcome to The Dating Show. This is FUBAR Radio. Pete and I every week talk to a celebrity guest. This week it is the lovely Vicky Patterson. And we also have some incredible games that we play. And our topic, Pete, what is the topic this week?
The topic this week, Cece, my dear, is deal breakers.
Interesting.
Deal breakers. So we'll get onto that in a little bit. But before we do that, obviously, last week I introduced a new part of the show, which I feel like everyone can learn a lot. You know, we like to educate people along the way, don't we?
Well, so, and me included. So yeah, go on. What we got this week?
This is Pete's dating sext book.
Good.
Okay. Are you excited for this?
Yeah.
Now, last week was quite graphic, so I thought I'd tone it down a little bit this week and go with something that sounds quite cute. So this week's definition is kitten fishing.
I would love to say I know what this is, and I literally have no idea. Kitten fishing.
Kitten fishing. Doesn't that sound like a nice phrase,
it
though?
It does, but it doesn't sound like it's going to be. If it's coming from you in your sext book...
It actually is a nice phrase. So first impressions are important. We discussed that with Anna Williamson a couple of weeks ago. So this is why a lot of single people resort to kitten fishing, which is presenting themselves in an unrealistically positive light on their social media, not to be confused with catfishing.
Right.
Catfishing is pretending to be another person altogether or whatever else. Kitten fishing is just exaggerating yourself and maybe a little bit about yourself, wearing hats or accessories to hide elements of their physique and exaggerating different personality/professional career parts of your life, whatever it may be. That's called kitten fishing.
Interesting, because that is actually everybody. That is what every single person that I think I know does. And whether it's like, well, I think there's a level, isn't there, of like whether you're, I guess, a heavy kitten fisher or a mild kitten fisher. But I think, I don't know one person that I follow that I can say is showing their true self every single time that they present on Instagram.
I agree. I feel like every single one of us has got a little kitten fish inside us.
Mm. And also, this is almost my question. How much should you really share to a bunch of strangers?
True. But I also do think that some people maybe kitten fish a little harder than others when they... Because it's very hard. We've spoken a lot about this, about being authentic and genuine and all that sort of stuff. And I think if you kitten fish a little bit too hard, it's very hard to keep up that lie, effectively. Mm-hmm. So it's not full catfishing, but you are in a way, which is why it's kitten fishing. And I thought I'd just use that one this week just because it sounds nice.
Oh, my God, this is so funny. I was told by a good male friend of mine that him and his friends don't actually date anyone that doesn't show a picture of Yeah, because they're usually the biggest kitten, catfish, because if you're just showing your face, as lovely as it might be, you know, that why are you not showing full body? But then actually, I've got a counter argument to that as well, because why? It depends if you have looks, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, exactly. It depends how shallow the person you are. I mean, you've had dating profiles in the past.
I definitely have, yes.
I definitely have.
I definitely have,
Do you put full body pictures up?
Yeah, but I never show...
Do you do that consciously?
Yeah.
Or you do, to say this is what you're expecting?
Yeah,
these are the goods.
This is where maybe the difference with me is I like to show an essence of who I am. So I will show, like, this is the kind of way I would dress. So if someone thinks that I'm going to be... they see how I look on maybe an evening out. So they kind of know the sort of person. It says a lot about a person. But what I don't show is much skin, because I think that that is for the individual. I want my boyfriend to see me naked. I want him. That's like the prize. He gets to see the goods. Whereas if I'm sharing it with everyone that I haven't even dated yet on a dating profile that is going to be seen by thousands of people.
Where's the mystery?
And, you know, I think it's good to keep something for your partner.
Another good example of kitten fishing is guys, generally guys, doesn't always have to be guys, but people who maybe put up pictures of them in a car and it's a Ferrari.
Oh.
Or it's a this or it's that. And actually, it's not their fucking car.
I mean, that is really, oh, that but to me is a bit sad. I'm sorry.
It's pathetic, utterly pathetic. But yeah, that sort of thing, that's kitten fishing, isn't it? Because it's still you, but you're implying that you live this lifestyle. Look at me in my fucking Ferrari, all that sort of shit. And obviously for some people looking at that, if you're on dating profile, whatever else, you must think, wow, look, what a great life. They must be really successful. They must be this, they must be that. That's kitten fishing, because it's still you, but you're implying or exaggerating your surroundings, your social status, or your whatever it may be. We are going to move on to the weird and wonderful dating news, but I'm just going to give you a really quick one as well, just to lower the tone like we normally do.
Oh, hot okay, dogging. Good.
All right, hot dogging. It's when you slide your cock between someone's ass cheeks like a hot dog. There's hot dogging for you.
Hang on, I've got a question. You can't just leave it there.
I can, we've got to move on.
No, I want to know. Does it go in or does it go up?
No, it just goes up between the cheeks. Pull the cheeks together, just fuck the in between, and that's hot dogging.
Oh. So
think of the cheeks like the bun and the cock as, and you can be male or female to do that. It doesn't have to be a female ass, it can be a male ass. It doesn't matter, but that's hot dogging.
So you could do it like doing it between the boobs, like that. What's that called? I've
got motorboating.
Motorboating.
But yeah, hot dogging is specifically the
tip
ass.
Wank. No, was that what I was thinking? Is it tip wank?
Yes,
it
it's a tip wank, which is
so
a
bum wank.
Yeah, tip wank, not a moat. Yeah, it's basically a bum wank. Yeah. Motorboating's when you put your face
this
in.
Is so good.
So that's Pete's dating sex book for the week. Let's move on.
Yeah, let's move on. What weird stuff have we got to talk about now on our dating news? My goodness.
Well, shall we start with the 16 people date?
Have you seen the video to this?
I haven't, no, but you're going to tell me about it.
Okay, so I watched this little snippet of it because it's quite funny. So a man was gobsmacked as a woman invites 16 people to their date like it's Love Island. So a man was left stunned after he discovered that a woman he went on a date with and invited 16 guys to without telling him. The man explained that he'd made plans to go on a date with a woman. He'd been chatting to her on Hinge. When he arrived, he was greeted by four other men who had all been invited to the date too. So basically what she had done is every person she's spoken to or been chatting to on Hinge, she said, let's all meet at the same place at the same time. And she basically speed dated them.
But she didn't tell them all that they were all going to be there.
No. I have to commend her. I think brilliant. She's not wasting any time. 16 people is what? Is more than 16 hours, because I'm sure you're going to spend more than an hour with somebody. It's a lot of time to waste. So get them all there. You might meet some friends. The guys might all get on. You might make a friend out of it.
I'm sure a lot of people disagree with this and think it's a nightmare. I think it's fucking fabulous.
Yeah. I do too. I'm sure you do.
I just think,
wicked, 16 women.
No. But even if I was one of the guys, I think.
Oh, right.
Even if I was one of the guys, it turned out I'd be like, fucking hell, are you for real? But I would kind of think, what a funny fucker.
Yeah.
I would quite rate it.
Do you know, she also had two friends there that were like.
The backup?
The backup, but also like auditing the situation, making sure that it went. I know. Like, what's your name? Date of birth? Right, you. Yeah, tick. You're Jack. Fine. What a good friendship circle she's got.
I think that's something. And you never know. If they were single, they might have. Do you know what I mean? It sounds like one big fucking party. And I'm here for it. How would you feel if you had been one of the 16? So if a guy had done that and you turned up, would you have stayed and actually gone on the date, or would you have gone, nah, fuck this, I'm off?
I don't know why it feels different, it being the other way around. I mean, I would definitely stay because I just think it's hilarious. And I think, wow, this guy's got some serious balls. But I don't know if I would take him seriously, because I'm looking for a relationship. I don't know if that that sends out the signal that I want a decent, committed relationship.
That's probably the best. I think it sounds like a really fun night out.
Mm.
And it sounds like a joke, but I probably wouldn't think to myself, you're the kind of woman I want.
Yeah.
You're the kind of woman I can have kids with.
Yeah. Good. So we're on the same page with that.
Yeah, but it does sound fucking great.
It
and
does,
as a single guy, do you know what I mean? I'm tempted just to, you could be my
auditor. Can I be your auditor? Yeah. You
could be the auditor.
I want a pen and paper. That's all I need in my life, a pen and paper, a pad.
Yeah, I think I'd struggle to get 16 people to fucking turn up, but you know what I mean?
Oh, no, trust me, Pete. We get you good. I'd get you some nice, I'd make sure it works. You'd be happy.
Okay, listen, Cece is now, this is now pimp my Pete.
Pimp my Pete. That's so so cute, isn't it?
It does, until I turn up and they're, oh, fucking hell. Yeah, love that. Next bit of weird and wonderful dating news is a woman who was catfished, which goes very well after the kid. This isn't kitten fishing, this is catfishing.
Yes.
By fake Prince Harry. She tries to sue the royal for promising to marry her. So,
hang on, Prince Harry, who's with Meghan?
Yes, yeah.
Right, okay,
exactly.
Cool.
So Palwinder Kaur, a lawyer, demanded Indian authorities issue an arrest warrant for Prince Harry without further delay after claiming she'd been chatting to the real Duke of Sussex. The lawyer insists that she was talking to the real prince when she was approached by a man who proposed marriage after a few weeks of online chat. She wants police to force him to carry out the promise of marriage. She's also written to Harry's father, Prince Charles, to inform him that Harry was engaged to her and was not honouring his promise. Her bizarre effort got as far as the High Court in India.
What?
Before it was shot down by a judge who branded the whole saga as a fantasy. Well, listen, thank fuck the judge stopped that debacle going every further. The fact that it got to the High Court's a fucking embarrassment.
I was going to say.
And what's even funnier is the woman that is trying to sue Prince Harry because she believes that she was talking to him, got married, is a fucking lawyer herself. She's evidently quite an intelligent person.
Or do you think she's just a bit of a Billy Big Bollocks and it's like, I'm a lawyer, so I'm going to call the shots and I know how this goes?
I think she's a fucking idiot.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Billy Big Bollocks, fucking idiot. Yeah, basically. Should we talk about our subject? Is that where
Shall we're
at right now?
I think it is.
I think that's where we're at. So,
dating deal breakers.
Dating deal breakers. Top of your head, what is a dating deal breaker for you?
In all seriousness, I find this quite a hard one because I think they depend on the person for me. I don't think there's specific things that everyone that I think are really common that people don't like. Do you know what I mean? Being unhygienic and all that sort of shit. I think that's really obvious. One thing for me is arrogance and being flash and rudeness. So, for example, if you go out for dinner or you're in a bar or whatever else, the way someone talks to people gives me an idea of who they are.
100%.
So
the way they talk to a waiter is a big indication.
And you've been
trust me, I know about that.
It's one of my biggest pet peeves. I fucking hate, and also people just even with eye contact. You know, anytime if I'm in a restaurant or a bar, and you say hello to the waiter or the waitress or the barman or whatever it is, I always make sure I look at them. Mm-hmm. Don't just go, all right, mate, you'll have a beer. Mm-hmm. It's fucking rude.
100%.
But, so the way people treat other people is a really big indicator for me of what that person's like. It's all well and good then being focused on who you're on a date with and paying attention to who you're on a date with, which you should be, but you should also be aware of what's around you and just be a fucking nice person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So for me, that's probably my biggest one is just it's just kind of rudeness and politeness and then, yeah, arrogance.
Do you know what? I found it really interesting thinking about this subject because I would have thought that there would be, it would be, you'd have your list or whatever, and that would be it. But it actually changes, for me anyway, it changes when I'm thinking about who I'm going to date and who I'm going to be in a relationship with. And it's mad because it must be that I'm sort of attracted to someone that maybe isn't boyfriend material. Does that make sense? Because I would never accept some of those things in a relationship. But as a boyfriend, as a someone I'm dating, I would be like, yeah, I can probably give a pass to that.
I think your deal breakers change depending on where you potentially see something going with someone. Now, when you go on a date in the first couple of minutes you meet someone, I think you get an idea of whether or not you see this as a fuck, a little bit of fun, casual thing, potentially going any further. And then I think your deal breakers change. Mm-hmm. Because if you're just shagging someone, you don't really give a shit what their values in life are and whether they want kids and all that sort of crap. If you are looking at someone a bit further than that, then everything becomes a deal breaker unless does that make sense? So
100%.
I think it really, it almost goes a little bit down to when we spoke to Anna about first impressions and your first impression of someone, I think will change your deal breakers.
So you've said obviously for, you know, in terms of say the dating, like relationship, being rude to a waiter or arrogance and flashiness, would you say would you take that into a relationship? And is there anything else that would spring to mind that you'd say, well, I can't accept those two things, but this is an absolute no for a relationship, long-term like partner?
I think for long-term partner, someone that is, I do want to get married, and the kids thing isn't a deal breaker for me. I'd love to have kids, but if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. But someone that doesn't believe in kind of soulmates and all that sort of stuff, I think it's something that I would find hard to, I don't know what I'm trying to get at here. I would find it hard.
I think I'm understanding you, yeah. Because of the way you think.
Yeah, just because I just do genuinely believe that. And if someone didn't,
Then where are you going?
Then kind of what are we doing? But again, that's not something that I've ever really come across. But I do think that would be something that would be a big thing for me is if people didn't have the same, not necessarily fundamental materialistic values and shit as me, but if they didn't have the same kind of, as wankerish as this is going to sound, but the same kind of spiritual beliefs in different things, I think that would make a difference to me.
Yeah.
But the stuff about, I want a nice house, or, I want to do it, I think that's kind of irrelevant. You never know where you're going to go a knife, and I don't think they're kind of deal breakers. I want six kids and I only want, do you know what I mean? You don't know what's going to happen. I think a lot of people will start out, I want six kids, and then have one and think, fuck that. So it doesn't matter, does it? Do you know what I mean? I don't think that's as important for me.
It changes as well, because you get in a relationship and actually, that thing I thought I cared about, I really, really don't.
Tell me about you. Tell me your deal breakers, Miss Cece Coleman.
Do you want my list?
Of course you've got a fucking list.
My list. I'm actually going to be a real hypocrite when I say this, but someone who describes their ex in a negative way. So basically I'm doing it right now. But you know when someone, you go on a date and someone's like, oh, my fucking ex, she did this and she said this.
Yep.
And you think that, even if you feel that way, it doesn't look very good that you're slagging someone off that you spent a certain amount of time with.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm also going to take that further, though, because just generally dating, talking about your ex.
Good. Glad you said that, because if you're talking about it like the breakup, yeah. But your ex, our exes are our history, and they're a part of the person that we are today. So I do think it's, You should acknowledge who you've been with. You should acknowledge the fact that, I was with someone for this amount of time and, it didn't work out. Because it's actually quite it's a big learning curve of what that person is about. Do you not?
Yeah, 100%. Okay. But have you been on a date where someone has just every story regards, me and my ex, and you think, shut the fuck up.
Yes, definitely. No, do you know what? I learned something, and I'd like to say that every relationship I'm in, it upgrades. So I'm like, okay, I've learned from this one. Maybe that would have been a deal breaker, and I didn't know that at the time. And I feel like I upgrade. I'm learning each time. So it's getting better and better, what I'm trying to say. But I didn't realise, because I didn't know that this was something that people can't always do, is communicate. To be a good communicator, to be able to speak about it's not about speaking well or articulating, but it's being able to, in some way, whether you draw a picture and show someone how you're feeling, however that is, however you express it, it's being able to express your feelings. Because I'm sure you've been with women who are very good at doing this, where we go, babe, what's wrong? Nothing. What's wrong? Nothing. Nothing's wrong. No, I can see that there's something wrong. There's nothing wrong. I'm fine. I'm fine. Stop making a thing of it. And really, there's a fucking thing. We don't want to say it, but if you ask us five times, we'll then say it.
Which is why, for me, what's wrong, babe? Nothing. All right, sweet. That's because then they're going to tell me anyway, because they want to. I'm not going to sit and play the fucking game. You either want to tell me what's wrong or you're fucking done.
See, this is where I think being a good communicator comes in, because I will always say to a partner, I might not tell you on the first time. And the reason why is not because I'm being a dickhead, it's because of my fear. I am fearful of what I'm saying. I'm fearful that you're going to judge me. So you might have to ask me three times. I promise you I'll tell you, and I'll always give you the truth. But you might have to ask me a couple of times before I feel like my fear has been removed. I'm in a safe place to be able to express something that's hard to say.
So if someone doesn't ask you, then what will you do with that problem?
It will come out at some point, because it always does. I can't hold, it might not come out immediately, but also sometimes you don't need to say everything.
But no, you don't. I completely agree with that. But also it comes out at a point then that you are ready to have the conversation. And I think that's important. I think sometimes when people continually ask, because I've had it before, when people ask me what's wrong, and I'm like, well, I'm fine. And I know there is, but I don't want to talk about it right now. So the more you ask me, the more I see something.
You communicated.
But the more you get asked something sometimes, I feel like sometimes you get forced into saying something and having a conversation you don't want to have.
I get it. I do. It's really about learning each other and knowing, you know, okay, when you say to me, I'm not ready to talk about it, I understand that that's a line. I've definitely said, I don't want to say anything. I don't want to do it. And I've gone into that mode because I've just freaked out thinking, I'm so going to be judged right now because I know that this is a trigger from the past. And I know that it's going to be really annoying. But you know what? Fuck it. I am who I am. My history is my history. I've lived what I've lived. So this is the problem. And then now at my age, I'm able to express it. But you have to be ballsy, and it's challenging to say your fears. It's really challenging. But going back to deal breakers, if you're not able to express what the fucking problem is, then how are we going to move forward?
Wow. And if you're listening, that's just number one on the list.
Oh, honestly, the list goes on, and it really, really does. Let's get our guest on. This is actually a friend of yours, isn't it? Vicky Patterson. Please intro her.
She's one of my best friends. Listen, Vicky doesn't necessarily need an intro because everyone knows Vicky Patterson. Started in George Shore, done I'm a Celeb, done every show under the sun. He's one of the most amazing, beautiful people inside and out that I know.
Oh, I can't wait to meet her.
Oh, she's amazing. Vicky, join.
Vicky.
Hello.
Look at you. Your gorgeous hair.
Do you like it?
Look at that. You look stunning.
Thank you so much. Hi, Peter.
Hello, my little love. How are you?
I'm okay, thank you.
Right, Vic, thank you for coming on. We're going to start this with some quick-fire questions.
Okay.
Which should be interesting. I said it's probably going to be a struggle with you because you do waffle. Date night in or date night out?
Date night out.
Giving gifts or receiving gifts?
Getting them.
Dating apps or meeting in person?
Meeting in person.
Dream job or dream partner?
Dream job.
I love that question. Chat up line or straight to the point?
Ooh, I like to be wooed. I like a bit of a chat up line, me.
Oh, nice.
Oh, Peter, don't twist your face at me. You are the king of chat up lines, you cringy bastard.
Moving on. Big spoon or little spoon?
I'm small spoon. I want to be little. Yeah, spoon. I'm the baby. Yeah, that's the one. Small spoon.
And single or taken? I think we know this already, don't we?
I'm taken.
The beautiful, wonderful Erkan. How is he?
Oh, he's just as handsome as ever. He's at work today, so he's a bit pissed off because it's sunny. But other than that, he's doing great. Fucking still lush, man. He's so lush.
Yeah.
How long have you been with him?
We've been together oh my God. So do you know what's coming up? Well, it's a long time away, but it's 2.5 years, Pete.
Wow.
Is that how long it's been since we did that?
Yeah.
No.
Since before, because I was with Pete the day I went on my first date with Erkan, CC. And honestly, it feels like 2 minutes ago, but yeah, it was 2.5 years now, which is absolutely mental.
How lush that 2.5 years into this, you're still saying these lovely words about him. You're not at that, he really fucking irritates me. I love him, but he really fucking irritates. You're at this lovely stage still. How nice. Oh, hang on, Pete, I'm seeing a finger. What's the finger for?
We caught on a good day, because I'm sure at some point she's no, I'll tell you what, he's a twat.
Pete is so right. I was just going to absolutely agree with him there. Some days I think, oh, I'm so lucky, so handsome. And would you just look at him? I hope our babies get his body and all this. And then other days I literally just stare at him and go, I fucking hate you, you know? Honestly, I just think part and parcel of, relationships is the up and down. But also, given the year we've just had, I'm not used to just seeing one person all the time. I'm used to going out to work and having a good day and coming back and being excited to see somebody. Mm-hmm. It's so hard to be excited to see somebody all the time. So yes, Cece, I love him, but we've had our ups and downs.
But on the plus side, you've made it through lockdown when a lot of people haven't. A lot of couples haven't.
I just feel quite smug.
So this week's topic is dating deal breakers.
Okay,
so when you think of deal breakers, it's things that, when you go on a date with someone, you think, oh, fuck no, that's a big no. Cece, what did you say earlier on? What was one of yours?
I've got a list, but one of them, looking at the phone. I cannot deal with someone that's on their phone, God. Not paying attention, on the phone, absolute straight no. What would be your, if you can think of one, the biggest thing that would just be an absolute turn off? This is just in dating for now, not relationships, because I've split them into categories.
Oh, okay. Stacey's really gone for it this week.
I know, I've got a pen, I've got a book and everything.
Oh, you're such a swot. for me, I think the thing that instantly came to my head is noisy eaters. Like, oh, get in the bin. Just get in the bin. I think it's gross. Like, me and Erkan...
The ones that are chewing like a fucking camel.
Oh, my God, literally, like, and you can see, like, the thing in the, you know, the, like, the back of their throat, and I'm like, no, hun, like, just get in the bin. No.
Okay, so what about... Have you got any other ones other than noisy eaters? I really thought you were going to have shitloads.
Like, here, a list, yeah. Because...
Have you seen my list of people I've gone out with? I've obviously got quite low standards. Jesus yeah, but, Christ. But
now that you found a lovely man, I would have thought, listen, she must have, because you must have been on some terrible dates because, in fact, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, babe. Oh, okay. So I hate, right? Like, I don't mind if you earn a fortune. I don't mind if, like, you've got nothing in the bank. Like, what I care about is
you're going to stay.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? I care about the type of person you are. So if you want to take me to the local chip shop, fair enough. But if you are going to take me to like a really fancy restaurant, you like, and make a big song and dance of it, like you best have the minerals to back that up. Like, I've been in a restaurant with a fella before, and he's gave it the big and all night. Friends came to see where we got, and then we got left with the bill. And he's like, "Let me get this. I'll get this." And his card got declined. So I picked up the bill, which I have got no problem doing. Like, I'm an equal, like, equal rights, love paying my own way. I'm not like spraffy. I'm not one of those beggy girls. But if I paid for now all your mates' nights out as well, like, it was just a bit embarrassing. God. Like, just know your lane, know your station. I don't need to be impressed, but that was about a 600 quid bill I could have done without.
What was his reaction to that? And was he like, can I transfer you money? Was he like, please let me take you out again?
I think...
I imagine Vicky probably got in a cab and blocked and deleted that fucker within seconds.
Yeah, I didn't really give him much of a chance. Like, I just don't want anyone to have to pretend they're something they're not. Like, we all have financial mishaps. And if you just sort of said like, oh my God, like some money hasn't been transferred or if there's a reason, but... No, like, it was just a really awkward situation and there was very little explanation and it just made it all worse. So I don't think I've seen him again in a romantic capacity.
Wow.
Do you think that your deal breakers have changed over time as you've got a little bit older?
What you mean, as I got desperate?
I mean, I didn't want to say it, no. But do you know what I mean? You know when you're younger, because when you're younger, what you look for in a partner or what you look for in a date is completely different to what you look for as you get a bit older. So your deal breakers probably do change. I mean, a deal breaker for me back in the day would be, do you know what I mean? Like, you know, if she ain't going over. You know what I mean? And then, sorry, that wasn't particularly PC, but fuck it. Do you know what I mean? If there wasn't any light fingering on the first date, then it's not happening on the second date. So it's a deal breaker.
Absolutely. But
as you get a little bit older.
What's changed for you, Pete? Is that still the same now? Is that bad?
No, they get two dates. Pete, yeah. They get two dates now for the light fingering.
Because he's such a gentleman.
Yeah,
now
what a guy.
But then. As you get older, it becomes, like you said, Cece, emotional intelligence or whether you can have a conversation with that person. I think that's not as important or wasn't important for me when I was younger. It's just whether or not they could get as pissed as me and whether or not, do you know what I mean? And if they couldn't
No, you've got, like, it's such a good point. Like, I just think as we grow up, everything changes, like, what we want in a partner, the things we consider super important. And I was probably a lot like you, like, back in the day, like, as long as there were a lovely bit of kit and they were paying for me drinks, like, fuck now, I'd go out with anyone. Mm-hmm. But as I've got slightly
and
older...
And you have.
And I have. Yeah. All right. I think as I've got older, like, I've got so much, and Cece, you'll attest to this, like, I've just got zero, like, tolerance for bullshit. Like, I don't want to be lied to, like, at all. Mm-hmm. And I don't care whether you have gone out with every girl in the world or, like, this is your first ever date. I don't care whether you're out of a serious relationship. I don't care. You've got loads of money, no money. But whatever situation you're in, just please be honest about it. There's nothing worse than sitting on a date and feeling like you're not getting anything real, just being lied to. And that's probably what I think I noticed most about Erkan and on our first date, was that I'd thought he was going to be this really quite toxic, very like typical Essex boy, like I don't know, all this fake show of masculinity. Not you, Peter. You're not a typical Essex boy. Look here, your long locks. But yeah, he wasn't. He was really nervous, and he was honest about being nervous. Oh. And it was just refreshing. And I suppose as you're older, you just want genuine. You want normal. You want nice. You want real, rather than like
you want
a knobhead.
Authenticity is one of the most important things that you can find in someone. And I think certainly as you get older, that is one of the main things that I would look for in someone, is whether or not I feel like they're being genuine or not. And it's probably not something you think about when you're younger.
Yeah. Well, that goes to time, doesn't it? Because when you get older, you don't want to waste time. When you're 25, you're not thinking, are you wasting my time? And are you genuine? Because I need to know in 6 months' time if you're going to be ready to like want to move in, have kids. You don't think like that, but you hit a certain age, 30 plus, and you go, shit, I should probably ask, do you want kids? And probably ask like where you're at in your like life.
Well, that's it. All the deal breakers we've spoken about so far are like noisy eating or whatever else. But the big ones are, do you want kids? Do you want to get married? If you go on a date with someone the first couple of times and that gets brought up just as a general question, if they don't have the same values and opinions on where they want to go in their life as you, that's a massive deal breaker, isn't it?
But it has to be, and I don't think there should be such a stigma, you know, surrounding bringing that up. Like, same. I know women get such a bad rep for being like pushy or demanding or forceful or having everything figured out, but unfortunately we don't have the same luxuries as men. Like, we don't get to fuck around till we're 45, 50 and then get some 21 year old pregnant. Like, I mean, as much as like I would actually be great as a weird old man doing that, I think I'd be fantastic. We just don't have that luxury. So I've got no shame. Like, I definitely brought these things up with Erkan relatively early, and luckily for me, like, he's really understanding and stuff, because he could have ran a mile and I wouldn't have blamed him. But I think never be ashamed to say what you want early doors, because all you do is weird out the fraidy cats, and nobody wants to go out with a fraidy cat anyway.
No, they don't. You are right. Do you think that being in the public eye and being as gloriously well known as you are is a deal breaker for some people?
Good question, Peter. Very good.
I like it when you wear your interviewer hat.
You know what's really funny is me and Vic have done different things together where we've had to interview each other, and I still find it really hard because I know Vic so well.
You know the answers.
so I know these questions so well and I know the answers, but you still have to go through the whole thing, because normally me and Vic would just be sat there getting smashed on tequila or doing something and then just talking absolute rubbish about fucking aliens or some weird crap.
Perfect. Yeah. I always thought you were talking about a childhood.
So, public eye, do you think that's a deal breaker for some people?
So weirdly, I remember I was kissing a boy, and then this is like years ago now, so I just started doing Geordie Shore, and when he met me, he didn't know, like, we just filmed the first series and it wasn't out on TV yet and stuff, and we were getting on really well, and I kind of told him, and I didn't think that would be your bag, basically. And I was like, you know, I'm not sure it was mine, but it was a great opportunity, blah, 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 blah. And anyway, like, as it started to come out on TV and, like, started to come out in the magazines and stuff, he just hated it. He absolutely hated it. And I think that's a very specific situation because, obviously, Geordie Shore was really controversial. It was not the ideal situation for, like, a fledgling relationship to grow if you've seen your bird kissing someone else on the telly. So I completely understood that. I never held anything against him. But since then, like, me problem's never been nicking a fella. It's been getting a fucking nice one. Let's have it right, isn't it? So I think, like, going forward, I never had a problem. But unfortunately, being in the public eye tends to attract the wrong people.
Yeah.
And that's a sweeping generalization. Don't get us wrong.
True.
Yeah, I mean, we've all had it. And I think every so often, like, a really lovely, genuine man just comes along, or woman, who thinks, well, I don't care what they do for a living. I just like them as a person. But it's it's rare. More often than not, you get someone who's a bit of a fan or has seen you on TV. And even if it's not the main reason they like you, it ends up being a huge part and it can be really difficult. So that's always been hard.
I think sometimes if you are in the public eye, you become attracting the wrong sort of people. You become like a trophy. And that's...
No, I think that's fair.
Do you know what I mean? That's a bit of a... and sometimes you don't always realise that, but I think the more you kind of date, the more you start realising what people are really like, and you start to look out for these red flags of people that might be dating just because you're in a public eye, or people that that really aren't going to be able to deal with the way your life is. Because it's it's quite difficult to date someone in the public eye, I think. It would be, if you're not in that world, I think it's quite difficult to date someone.
But that comes back to emotional intelligence, because if you know yourself well enough, you're going to know if you can deal with being with somebody or have an idea. If you know you're a jealous person, don't date someone in the public eye. Simple as that. If you're, do you know what I mean? If that is emotional intelligence, you're emotionally intelligent enough to say, yeah, I can get a bit envious. I can get a little bit possessive. So probably not right for me. But that comes with age, I would say. I wasn't emotionally intelligent at 25. I was a complete twat. Now I'm learning snippets along the way. Yeah. Don't laugh at me.
That's what's meant to happen. Like, honestly, listen to this, Cece. Like, I remember having a conversation with my mates and saying, love's meant to hurt. Like, you have to feel so obsessed with the person you're going out with that the minute they leave you, the minute they walk out the house, you want to know where they are, what they're doing, who they're with. It has to consume you. It has to be passionate. You have to cry. You have to shout. You have to... And I remember saying this, and it was not for dramatic effect. I believed it. Every single word I was saying. As a 33-year-old woman, I realise now how fucking naive that was and how truly troubling that statement is. Like, love should be the only thing in the world that doesn't hurt, that doesn't keep you awake at night crying. You don't wonder where they are. Like, that should be the only thing that makes you feel safe and secure and the only thing you never have to question. And that's part of growing up, like, realising all these mind games, all these, like, hang-ups, insecurities and everything. Love shouldn't be like that. So, yeah, like, it's constantly evolving and you're constantly growing, and emotional intelligence is really only something I've grasped as I've got over 30, to be honest.
Do you know what, Vic? Learning. I love you.
I love you too.
I really do. You make me emotional when you speak sometimes. Because I've been there when you've had some shitty times and that, and it's just so nice to see you really happy and learning these different things along the way, you know what I mean?
Babe, honestly, like, I couldn't have got through some of my darker moments without someone like you, my good friend. So I really appreciate that.
Well, I think it was more the tequila that got you through it, but right.
Oh, just so modest.
Each week, Vic, we play a little game called Love the Way You Lie.
Okay.
Okay, Cece, do you want to take this over?
So, Love the Way You Lie. We would love it if you could tell us three either statements or stories, completely up to you, one of which is truth.
Okay.
Am I saying that? Or if I got it wrong again this week? Every week I get
this wrong. That's why I let you do it every week, because I never get it right.
You know what, last week I actually wrote it down on my piece of paper. And
I don't want to teach you how to suck eggs, guys.
We want two true, one lie.
And one of them's a lie. Yeah.
Thank you. Welcome to Food by the Dating Show with Vicky Patterson. And this week her guests are Cece and Pete Wicks. So, it's two truths and one lie. I will be absolutely raging. So basically, Cece's really good at this. Sherlock fucking Holmes. And I have no idea whether people are telling the truth or lying. But I know you quite well. So if I don't get this right, I'll be fucking raging.
Oh, yeah, this would be good. Yeah, go back. Yeah, let's have it.
I've had to think about this, okay? And I've tried to come up with stuff that I think you don't know, Pete, but then I think I've probably told you half of this when I've been pissed anyway, so I could be wrong, right? So let's just start.
Which guarantees that I'm pissed and can't remember it.
You are such a better drunk than me. I'm so sloppy.
Well, that's not fucking hard, is it?
Cece, are you a good drunk? Because I'm terrible.
Well,
I'm a fucking lightweight. That's what I am.
No. Do you know what? In Cece's defence, we went out the weekend, didn't we, babe?
Yeah.
And
still hanging. Yeah.
Cece held her own.
Did you?
I mean, listen, let's just put it out there. Because of the restrictions, there is no dancing allowed, right? So we were sat down the whole night. If there was a dance floor, I think that may have shown how actually off my nut I was, but that, I was pretty good at just being like, do you know what, I'm going to sit here casually, have my drink, chat a little bit here, sip my drink. But Sunday was a write-off and I am still hanging now. So yes, anyway, back to the game.
Let's do it.
Okay, here goes. Two truths and a lie. Right, so years ago I was charged with looking after my auntie's pet cockatoo and I killed it.
Hang on. What? Hold on again. Can you just say all of that again? Because I'm very confused. Yeah.
Don't be confused. I'll just say it again. So, right. Years ago, my auntie asked me to look after her cockatoo and I said yes and I killed it.
What's a cockatoo? Is it a bird?
It's a bird, yes. Yeah. Right. Which surprises me because you've always been quite good with a cockatoo.
Now, that's rude. You used my own joke against me, Pete. How dare you? Okay, so do you want to hear my next one?
Yes, please.
Okay, the second one is I've met Kim Kardashian.
Okay, and third one?
I once told Ollie Murs I would let him wear me like a hat.
Oh my God, I just love
right,
this.
Okay, so the first one is cockatoo murderer. Second one is part of the Kardashians, and third one is fucking Ollie Murs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right, we get a question on each one. How did you kill the cockatoo?
It was heat related.
You cooked it?
Not intentionally.
Oh, roast cockatoo for is that fucking hell, was that I'm glad you didn't do that on MasterChef. Okay.
I've been adventurous with my culinary talents from a young age.
Evidently. Cece, have you got any questions for the parrot murderer?
I've literally just got cock written next to it. So my question...
Really, really illuminating, Cece, if I'm honest.
Cock.
With you.
How long ago was it?
Which thing?
The first one,
the cockatoo. Oh, a long time ago now. I think I was probably about 10. So, okay. God, 23 years.
Okay, number two, Kim Kardashian. Where did you meet her?
European Music Awards. That's right. That's right.
Okay.
She's fancy.
Cece, any questions on Kim K?
Was the meeting friendly?
Yes, relatively.
I would just love to see you talking to Kim Kardashian.
Same here. That's what I mean. I mean, I'm wondering what her response was.
And number three, for me, why on earth would you want to fuck Ollie Murs?
Who wouldn't?
No, I get it. Totally get that. Totally, yeah. Definitely get it.
There she goes. Cece knows.
Cece, your question.
I've got no questions on that one. No.
Okay.
Cece just believes it outright. Yes, yes. She looks like a gore.
Want it to be. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to say the lie is the cockatoo because I know you've been to the EMAs a few times and I know you would have bumped past with Ollie Murs a few times. So I don't believe that anyone would allow a 10-year-old Vicky Patterson to look after a fucking live animal. I wouldn't let a 33-year-old Vicky Patterson look after a live animal. So that's got to be the lie.
Okay. I was actually going to say the same, but Pete, because you're so shit at this game, it's making me want to change my answer. So now I'm like, is it Kim? Do you know what? I'm going to go with the cock too. That cock is the lie.
It's not a cock too. It's a cock.
That's all I heard.
As soon as you say cock to Cece, she goes into a daze. So which ones that we're both going for the bird being the liar?
Okay, so shall I tell you the truth?
Yes.
Okay, you're both wrong, bitches.
Which one? Tell us. Which is the lie?
I did not tell Ollie Murs I would let him wear me like a hat. I told Tom Jones I'd let him wear his like a hat.
Oh.
Well, that...
Yes.
That is understandable because Tom Jones is a fucking cool man.
Yeah.
Do you want to join my team? That's my Tom Jones impression.
Yes, right, I okay. do, Tom.
So, wow. you've met Kim K. I would love to see that. You killed a fucking bird.
Oh, no. I'm not proud of it. And it wasn't intentional. And I was so sad. But, yeah, it happened.
So what actually did you put it in the oven? You put it in the microwave?
No, God. Now you're making me out to be a real sociopath.
Just weird, like, trying to understand it. Actually.
You've heard of don't fuck with cats. This is where don't fuck with cockatoos comes from.
No, this is don't fuck with pats.
Yeah. So yeah, Erkan, you better sleep with one eye open, mate, because she's got it in her.
So basically, I was very young and my auntie asked me to look after her cockatoo when she went on holiday. I, of course, said yes. I was trying to prove that I was grown up enough to have a pet. So my mum and dad left me relatively in charge of this poor little animal. And we kept it in the conservatory. And it was just a really hot day. And I went out and we didn't leave the windows open for him or anything. He was just in his cage and he was quite old, but I just don't think he could handle the heat. So I killed him, and I'm very sorry to all the cockatoos out there, I suppose.
I don't think any of them are listening to this, so I think you're all right. Interesting.
Yeah, okay, Kim then. Kim, what was the situation? Was it a hug? Was it like a high five? Was it like...
That's even better if fucking Vicky Patterson and Kim had a high five.
Yeah. Like, what was the...
Fuck him!
Yeah, I would love to tell you that we're, like, BFFs and we've kept in touch and we swap Bridget and stories and slut drop when we get together. But actually, it was super boring. I was presenting an award at the AMAs in Frankfurt, Germany. And I've been kept in, like, a green room all day. We were just getting pushed back and pushed back because we were super unimportant compared to everybody else there. And we were just about to go and practice giving our award on the stage. And Kim K arrived to practice giving out hers. So they just said, guys, can you just take a step back? And we did. We took a step back and Kim K walked in and she just said, hi, guys. And she practiced presenting her award. And she said, I hope you have a good time tonight. And then she just walked off. And she was so tiny with such a big butt. And that's all there is to it, I'm afraid.
Is she fit?
Yeah, she's incredibly attractive and so much more petite than you would have thought. Like, especially back in the day, like, I just remember as being super voluptuous and very curvy. I know she's a lot more toned now, but yeah, I remember thinking she was going to be more like me, but she's not. She's diddy and just stunning. Yeah.
Wow.
Interesting. Well, I mean, you know, she's single again now. So if you do sort of want to slide in and, you know, give her my digits.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Help us out.
Yeah, obviously, like, I will do that, no problem. I'm a good wing woman. Wing woman, that was such a bad pun. Oh, no!
I'm so glad you picked up on that, because I was about to go to fucking town. She just killed a bird, and now she's calling herself a wing woman.
Oh, dear.
I'll do what I can for you with Kim, like.
Yeah, because you've been a terrible wing woman to me over the years.
That's bullshit. You just don't like all my friends and the people I set you up with just because they don't go over like a granny on ice skates. It's not my fault.
I've matured since then. I'm looking for different things.
Did you ever think? Has he matured?
I mean, what, in the last 10 weeks that we've been doing this? let me think about that. No, do you know what? I always say this, but Pete, everybody gets you wrong. They always do. You've got this name in the papers that makes you seem just horrific. And, you know, I really wanted to believe it. And, but you're not. You're actually annoyingly nice and you're annoyingly switched on. And yeah, it's, you're not at all that person. So that's the only nice thing I'm going to say. Okay. But there you have it.
Other than that, I'm complete and utter prick. Vic, thank you so much for today. We know you've got to go back to work because you're in the middle of a shoot, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. I'm shooting for Fabulous today, but I was never going to be too busy for you two lovely people.
Well, thank you so much for your time. Message me later because we have things to discuss and organise.
Yes, I love this. Okay, so lovely to see you, Pete. Cece, it was lovely to meet you guys. And once again, I just want to clear my name as some sort of like bird-hating psychopath. It was a one-off and I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, but I mean, that's nice. As soon as you get off here, I'm going to start telling everyone what a horrible person you are to animals.
Are you mad? I've got a whole bunch of crows I need to kill after this. So I'll say yes. Bye.
Oh, dear.
I totally get why she's your mate. I totally, totally get it.
Can you tell?
Yeah. What a lovely girl.
She is just amazing. She really is one of the sweetest, most genuine people that
I've certainly ever met within this industry, but even outside of that, she's just a genuinely good friend of mine. Mm-hmm. I love her to bits. You could talk to her all day. She's so much fun on a night out as well.
Yeah, I can imagine. I can imagine.
You can imagine what me and her are like, I mean, on a night
out. If that's her sober, I would love to see her with the amount of tequila that we had at the weekend. That would be fun.
Oh, she... Listen, there's not many people who can keep up when I do drink. She can.
Really? Toe to toe?
Toe to toe.
Amazing.
She goes for it, really goes for it. But she's just a great person. Right. After our guest every week and the fact that we're both terrible, love the way you lie, we go on to our listeners' stories and advice.
Yes.
So each week we have a dating story and maybe some advice from our listeners, see if we can give them some words of wisdom, some pearls of knowledge from our experience. Quite often we can't, but we like to listen to the stories. So first up, we have got a dating story from Hannah, who's in Cambridge.
Okay, so mine is with when I was dating my old bar manager. We went for cocktails and we went to like a few different bars. And we went back to his, and he used to live with these two friends, and he like was renting a room in their house. And basically in the middle of the night, I woke up and I felt really sick, and I never feel sick after drinking. So I went to the toilet. I was sat on the toilet and I just threw up in the sink, like really out of the blue. And basically blocked the sink of this couple's like new house. So it was like 3 a.m. and I basically had to get around the back of the sink, detach the U-bend and clear out my sink from the sink and put it in the toilet and then like fix the sink all back together without waking anyone else in the house up and without getting sick all over the bathroom.
I feel like she's trying to match my story of my...
Well.
Wow. Oh.
I mean, fair play to her for trying to fix it and getting in the U-bend and all that sort of shit. There's not many people that would think of that.
I definitely wouldn't think. Let me understand how to... I don't even know what the U-bend bit is. It's that bit, isn't it? The curve, isn't it?
Yeah, and do you know why they call it a U-bend?
Because it bends. No? Because it's in a U-shape. Got it. Understood. Jeez, I would
do
not...
Do you know why they call it a U-bend? Because it bends?
Well, come on, I want to be right. Please have me a right. Give me 10 out of 10.
What is it with people getting so fucked on dates that they have to relive their dinner in a sink or a toilet or just on themselves in bed?
Well, you should probably ask me that question directly.
I am asking you directly.
I thought you were trying to be polite then. So, you know what it is? It's just sometimes you think you can handle your drink and just sometimes you can't. I do think it depends on what you've eaten that day. If I haven't eaten a lot or I haven't filled my stomach with food, then it's my body will not respond well to alcohol. That's my excuse.
So okay, interesting. Because I always thought, really, because if I'm drinking, then I don't really eat a lot. Because I know people like to lie in their stomachs and all that, but surely you have more to throw up. Surely if you don't eat much, then you are it's just bile.
Well, it's just really...
I'm really sorry to anyone that may have tuned in to FUBAR this week for the dating show to hear me...
Let's talk about that.
Yeah, to hear me talk about bile. And for anyone listening, people, stop fucking throwing up. Why is everyone just throwing up on dates? Okay, so next up, we have got some advice needed from Kate. So I'm going to read this out to you, Cece, all right?
Okay.
Listen carefully.
Is this advice?
That she's looking for some advice. She needs some advice. So, I've been dating this guy recently and things have been going well. I found out we have a conflict of interest, though. He has a fetish for belly buttons.
For what? Belly buttons?
Belly buttons. The right. Navel.
Okay.
The problem is that I have a weird thing with touching them. He likes any belly buttons, which I have, so I'm glad that pleases him. He also likes to fondle and lick belly buttons. Touching of belly buttons is what bothers me, so I'm not sure what to do. I'm happy.
Oh, there's more. Right, go on.
Yeah, I'm not finished yet. I'm happy to do it to his belly button and also don't mind showing him my belly button. I just have an issue with him touching mine. Do you have any advice on what I can do? Can I get over my mini phobia?
This was not the kind of story I was expecting today.
Right, let's start. Let's break it down now.
Yeah, let's break it down.
Do you like belly buttons?
I like innies.
Okay, but do you specifically...
Oh, do I have a fetish for them? No, I don't. Do you?
I don't give a fuck about belly buttons, I'll be right. honest with you.
Okay.
I don't really understand the fascination with it. I don't understand the fascination with people not liking them touched either. I'm not conscious about mine or weird about
it. Oh, no, I do. I know about that one. Because, someone used to poke my belly button, an ex-boyfriend thought that was sexy. And it does bother me because it's a funny part of the... It's like you have sensitive parts of the body. So I do understand that part of what she's saying. No, I think it's not when you finger your own belly button, it's different. When someone else does it, yeah.
Okay. Is is belly button fingering a thing? Is that saying?
I'm sure it is. I'm pretty sure it is. Maybe this is what this guy likes. Oh no, she's got an outie. He wouldn't be able to get it in there. No.
She's got an innie. She's got an innie.
She's got an innie.
I just think it's a bit of a weird one. It depends how much it really bothers her, and it depends how much he really wants it. I would just say stay away from the belly button for both of you. If it bothers you that much, then he should just understand that that's not for him. Unless it's a really big fetish for him, where, do you know what I mean? Maybe it's because I don't understand the whole belly button thing.
Well, let's move to something else that maybe you would like to or like not to share, a fetish of yours, right? So something, you don't have to say it, but think of something in your head that that you are quite into, and if someone said, Pete, it's a no-go for me, you can't do that to me, whatever that thing is.
Would
that
be a deal breaker?
Yeah, would it be a deal breaker?
No, it wouldn't. Because I think more importantly when it comes to sex or that kind of sexual chemistry is the connection rather than what you're actually doing. So I could quite happily drop a fetish of mine for the right person.
Interesting. I think personally, I would not change my self for somebody. I'm always open to suggestion. But if it's really bothering you, then I'm sure there is someone out there, a doctor, that can help with phobias of the belly button.
I think they call them naval nurses.
There you go, a naval nurse. But I feel like maybe you should, there must be other things that you can explore sexually that's both going to please you, that doesn't involve having someone stick his willy, if that's what he likes, into your belly button.
I mean, I don't know.
Could be that.
He likes to fondle and lick belly buttons, not actually fuck her belly button.
Oh, did she say that? Oh.
Yeah, she exactly said that. So, because I would understand that would probably not be the nicest thing in the world to have someone's fucking helmet in your belly button.
what I meant about you can't poke it. It's about someone else poking it. When you poke your own, it's not the same thing.
Yeah, well...
Oh, God, can we move on already? I've done it again.
Basically, my advice would be to have a little chat about it. If it bothers him that much, then I think that's a little bit weird. And if it doesn't bother you enough for you to give it a go, then listen, practice makes perfect. Just maybe, you know, sit at home and fondle your own a little bit and see if you can work your way up to him fondling it, and potentially, as Cece said, work your way up to him fucking it. Also, I would love to know either how big your belly button is or how small your dick is for that to be fucked.
Can you come on next week and let us know the circumference of your belly button? I think that's all we need to know right now. We don't need the details of
and the girth of his shaft. So yeah, I mean, listen, that was a slightly odd one, and you know, but I wish
odd is good.
Yeah, we love odd. Yeah. We love the weird and wonderful.
Bring the odds. We like it.
Weird and wonderful. So yeah, that's it from
and,
from
and
us
that's it. Thank
on
you
the, on
Thank
the dating stories. So on that note,
is this where we drag out our goodbye?
Unfortunately, yeah, it's just time to say goodbye.
Okay. I feel like we can't end it on the note of belly buttons because I'm going to go away and think about this now.
Well, I mean, listen, maybe it's not just you. I'm going to go away and think about it. Maybe our listeners will go away. Let's all just come off, you know, stop listening to this. Cece and I will come off air and we'll all just spend 5 minutes thinking about belly buttons. And it will make us all feel less weird that we know that there are thousands of other people doing it with us.
Yes, everyone has their thing.
Everyone has their thing. So yeah, another fantastic week. Love speaking to you as always. Love speaking with Vicky Patson because she's one of my good friends. So thank you everyone for listening to The Dating Show. We are going to love you and leave you and see you next week. Namaste.
Namaste.
Okay, you still waited for me and it still doesn't
Okay,
work.
I won't wait.
You know what?
Then.
We can't do this anymore. All right, it's getting fucking weird. Just namaste, everyone. Goodbye.
Goodbye, namaste.